A number of years ago, I was doing this sort of thing in a different location, different country, when the cast of Jesus Christ Superstar showed up to where I was speaking. For those of you who don't know what Jesus Christ Superstar is or was, it's a rock musical from the 70s and 80s that was very popular. And the cast showed up to when I was speaking. Pontius Pilate in full garb. Caiaphas, the high priest, with his phylacteries, dressed as the Sanhedrin dress, with their black robes, great big high hat, and holding onto his staff. And I had the very strange experience of being heckled by Pontius Pilate himself as I preached the gospel. He said things like, "We rubbed you guys out 2,000 years ago and you're still going." It was a very strange experience. Now, unbeknown to me, the cast of Superstar, who were in plain clothes, got among the crowd to whom I was speaking. And every now and then they would burst into song in perfect harmony, "Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, who are you? What have you sacrificed?" Afterwards, they came up to me and say, "Hey, will you come to the show this afternoon?" Because they'd come into the local square to promote it. I said, "No, there's no way." So I don't know if you know about it, but Jesus Christ Superstar is anti-Christian. It's actually Jesus through the eyes of Judas Iscariot. And I says, "There's no way you'll get me to come to it." And they said, "We'll give you free tickets." I said, "What time does it start?" So I went, and I must admit to you, I thoroughly enjoyed the music. It was enjoyable. Afterwards, they invited me down the back, behind the scenes, to meet those who played in the play, or the actors, or whatever. I met Mary Magdalene, the guy who played Jesus. And I says, "Hey, I really enjoyed it, but it wasn't the Jesus of the Bible that you were portraying." And then one of the members of the staff, or whatever, said, "But we're making Jesus acceptable to the 20th century." And she really nailed it. They had made Jesus acceptable in the 20th century. Now, the Bible calls that idolatry. Well, you created God in your own image. Now, you may have your image of God today. I mean, who is God to you? Well, he's the one you pray to when you want to win a football game. He's the one you pray to when Aunt Martha's sick, when things aren't going right. Because God's your friend, right? Well, not according to the Bible. The Bible actually says something very radical. It says, God is our enemy. You say, "You're kidding." No, that's what the Bible teaches. It says, we're enemies of God in our mind through wicked works. It says, whoever's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And there's nothing that dissipates idolatry, that is creating a God in your own image, like the Ten Commandments. When God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the Bible tells us that Israel was worshiping a God they made in their own image. They created a God to suit themselves, commonly called the golden calf. And they were having an orgy, running around naked, having a big party, having a good time. And Moses came down from the mountain, and the Bible says what he did is he took those two tablets and threw them at Israel's feet, smashed them to 1,000 pieces. And then he said, "Who was on the Lord's side?" And Israel had to make a choice. And I'd like to do exactly the same with you today, if you'd permit me. I would like to cast those commandments down at your feet, and you make a judgment as to whether or not you've shattered them in 1,000 pieces, and then call you to a decision. Who is on the Lord's side? So let's do it very briefly. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, "But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." Broken that commandment? I mean, who hasn't? What guy in America hasn't got, quote, red blood? We're guilty of lust, and the Bible says when we lust after a woman, we commit adultery with her in our heart. You shall not bear false witness. Have you ever told a lie? I'm not saying a white lie, black lie. Have you ever borne false witness? Have you ever told a bold-faced, outright lie to cover your tracks? Who hasn't? The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Are you guilty if you've broken that commandment? You shall not steal. If I open your wallet, your purse, and I just take out $1, I'm as guilty of theft as if I took out $100. And God isn't impressed with the amount of what you stole or the value of that which is stolen. Have you stolen something in your life? Are you innocent or guilty? Have you broken that commandment? Want some more? Ever use God's name in vain? Bible says you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Ever use God's name in that way without respect? When you do so, when you say, oh, my GD, oh, JC, when you do that, you're taking the name of the God who gave you life itself, your most precious possession, the God who gave you eyes, a brain to think with, ears to hear with, taste buds to enjoy good food. You're taking the name of the God who lavished his goodness upon you and using it as a cuss word to express disgust. Adolf Hitler's name wasn't despised enough to use as a cuss word, but you have used God's name. And Jesus said, every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Can you see how we've all broken those commandments? Can you see how we're guilty? What will you do on the day of judgment when God brings out every secret thing? Because the Bible says it will happen. God will have his day of justice. You think how man craves for justice. With all our evil ways, we still set up court systems. When some guy rapes a little girl, strangles her to death, throws a body on a trash heap, we all rise up and say that person must be brought to justice. Because we believe in right and wrong. Well, how much more will God? And the Bible says God has set aside a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He will have his day of justice. Well, how will you and I fear on that day? The scriptures say it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And hell is God's just place of punishment. Murderers will be punished. So rapists, thieves, liars, fornicators, blasphemers. What will you do on that day? Jesus Christ, who are you? What have you sacrificed? That's what they sung from the crowd. Well, who is Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says he was God in human form. Jesus said amazing things. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The Bible says he was the express image of the invisible God. God became a person specifically to give his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He paid your fine in his life's blood. He took the punishment for the sin of the world. Upon him was laid the sin of us all. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. That's what God did for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, through the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God can remit, he can forgive, he can wash away your sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, the Bible says they shall be as white as snow. You can be clean if you'll repent. Old-fashioned word means to turn from your sins. And if you'll trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Will you do that today? Who is on the Lord's side? Who is going to say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I turn from all sin and trust you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. The moment you do that, you'll pass from death into life. You'll pass from darkness into light. And this isn't my word. I give you God's word on it. He is faithful who promised. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.